Hi, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia.
And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners.
And we're just following our dreams, you know, working to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right. And we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood. Hello.
Hello. Hey, Super Mamas.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. How's everyone doing? Depending on...
How are you, Paulina? What's new? Tell me. What's up?
You know what? I'm much better. I'm much better than last week, for sure. I realized that it was a combination of things. I was...
Isn't it always, my dear?
It's always. I actually, because I put a post the next day about like having my period, I was like, oh, no wonder I've been crying left and right. It's good. I actually much better. Someone was so kind and sent me a whole article about kids going through a difficult stage at 7 years old. Apparently it's a thing.
Dios mi corazón, stop.
I swear. It's called, let me see. It's called the Struppy Sevens. Apparently.
I feel like you can find an article about every age, though. Like terrible twos, three teenagers, troublesome fours. Like,
well, we're at seven. We're at seven. And I read it. And yeah, she was telling me that her daughter also went through something very similar. So I was like, okay, at least I'm not the only one. At least it's like something that more parents are experiencing. And I'm not the worst parent in the world.
You are not the worst parent in the world. You're a great mom. You're one of the best moms ever.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, actually, I felt proud at the end of the week. I you know, Krista, we went to her soccer games and she lost both games. I mean, she's never really played, right? So then...
Well, that was also my question to you. I'm like, how is she doing games if she doesn't play? Like, she doesn't practice.
She practices twice a week. She practices every Tuesday, every Thursday. So they invited me to take her to one of these, you know, practices. They were like, oh, you know, they're looking for girls around her age. A friend of hers told me. And I was looking for something for her to do. And I was like, hey, do you want to do soccer? She was like, yeah. So I told my husband about it. He's the one that's totally in charge of it. I only take her to games, but he's in charge of seeing everything. Like, he just tells me where I have to go. And he sent me a message last week and he was like, you know, like, Krista cannot miss games or practices. And I was like, okay. But I thought he was joking, right? I was like, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, whatever. And he was like, no, seriously, like she cannot miss because she'll get kicked out of the team. And, you know, she has to play. And this weekend she had three games. It was the only weekend they had three games. But I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I cannot do three games. Like, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I didn't know this was going to be it. Like, I didn't know we were going to have to go to like Laguna Niguel to play.
What?
Yeah, I went to Laguna Niguel on Saturday. She played at Laguna Niguel. And she's like, for real, playing, right? So apparently this is like, there's like different types of soccer.
Leagues. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Leagues. No, well, there's like the little, you know, the park. And then there's like AYSO. And then like, apparently there's this whole world. Well, my kid is in like a club. She's in a club league. And so this is like kids that are really trying to be like, you know, really, really playing. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, so this is like serious stuff, you know, it's like super strict. And so I told her, I said, I guess we're going to turn into a soccer family because now Sabina also joined. So anyway, so she's never really played, right? And this group that they're forming, it's new girls and they don't really have a lot of experience. So they lose every time. They've been losing. That's the truth. You know, like the one game I was like, oh, ooh, ooh. It was like 6-0 or something like that. Right. And so she came back and she was crying. And she was like, I just want to go. And I was like, why? She was like, I don't want to do this. I want to go. I was like, and then she started crying. And I said, what happened? She was like, I just don't want to disappoint people anymore. I disappointed my friend. I disappointed my teammates. Someone scored a goal because of me. And she was just crying. She was like, I'm disappointing everyone.
Oh my God.
I know. And I was just like, oh my God. Okay. So I was like, well, we could leave or we could just like sit and talk through this. And that, you know, I told her, I was like, well, you know, a lot of the girls, of course, like they yell because they're like, hey, can you stop? Pass the ball. I'm like, but it's just, like sportsmanship. That's the whole point of being in a team sport. You have to learn to play with others. You have to learn. And I said, you can't quit. You can't just walk away. She was like, no, I don't, you know, I don't want to disappoint anyone. And so I was like, we should
go.
Is this
in the game? This is during the game?
No. So they had one game and then they had a friendly game. So this was in between games. Oh, okay. So I said, so you don't want to stay for the friendly game? She was like, no, I don't want to stay. And I was like, well, we should at least like cheer your team, you know, if you're going to be here, we're already here, like cheer your team if you want to play or you want to like just go and, you know, check, observe how the like the bigger girls play. And you're going to have to learn. This is practice. And she didn't want to go. And she was all like, no. And at the end, like, I was like, okay, we, you know, I calmed her down. I was like, well, let's go. Let's go talk to the coach. So we went to talk to the girl that's in charge of the team. And she was like, Krista, you know, you're just learning. You're just starting. You have to practice. Like, if this is not something that, like, you didn't learn how to walk from one day to the next, right? And she was like, no. And I said, she's like, you didn't learn how to, like, draw or anything, like, from the first day. This is, like, this is your, like, third game ever. Like, of course, you know, this is, you guys are not going to win championships this season, but next season, you guys are going to be better. And it was a good, like a good lesson. And I told my husband, yeah. I'm like, oh, they definitely need to stay here, you know, because she needs to learn how to play with others. And I think like the whole thing about like, I don't want to disappoint anyone. I'm the worst. I was like, oh no, like this is going to help her overcome all of those things, you know, all of those like insecurities that she has. So they're doing that. And they're also doing Taekwondo, which is the cutest. And I realized my kids have zero coordination. My husband's like, oh, I wonder who they got that from. I'm like, yeah, totally me. I'm really focusing on them, like just letting out all that energy. And yeah, so I think it's been good. Samina has been like way more, you know, just excited about her soccer, excited about her Taekwondo. And yeah. I think that's going to really help them. It's going to really help that's them good. Both. Yeah.
I'm so happy for you, Paulina.
I am too. I am totally that soccer mom carrying like a little cart with a bunch of shit on it. Per usual.
No, but that's you. Like, I feel like that's like the culmination of Paulina Lopez. Like, all these years have come to this. So all your stuff and all your bags and all your carritos are finally being put to great.
For sure. I do have
your
the best
chairs,
setup.
Your mom chairs, your cup holder, your carrito, your bag. Like this is it.
You know, I was getting prepared for this season of my life. For real. I'm like, I have everything. I have a cooler. I have everything. Like,
yeah, like you're ready to set up a carne asada on the side of the soccer game.
I am going to tell you, though, like one of the things that happens is like where we play, there's like a trees on the lines, but there's different canchas. I don't know what they call it. So whenever the kids play, the parents go and sit in a certain space under the sun. And I'm like, hell no, I am not going to go sit under the sun. I'm going to sit right
here.
Yeah,
you have your umbrella.
They have their umbrellas. They have umbrellas.
I was going to say, you have every, like, you are prepared.
I am prepared for that.
You were born for this.
I guess so. And I'm like, what should I buy next?
Yeah, embrace it. I am so excited. I'm so happy. And I think, like, you know, I know it's great for your children, obviously, but I think like that should make you feel good, right? Like my girls are doing something.
They are doing something. They are putting their energy. They go to sleep so early now. So early. Yeah,
and I am just, and also I'm a little like, when I heard about Chris having a game, I'm like, wait, how are you having a game? When was like, do you play soccer? So it just reminded me of us, how dad would always put us in these situations where he just expected us to be great. And I'm like, but I've never kicked a ball. Like, how do you expect me to play basketball with these athletes right now and expect me to be great? So I'm glad that they had that conversation with her. And
they did. They did. Practice. All the girls. Yeah. All the girls are on the same, like all the girls are on the same like level.
Girls aren't good.
All the girls are beginners.
That's a better way of saying it, Bricia.
And I realized they're beginners. And you know what? Also, like,
but that's great that everyone's in the same level. And
they're
it's
all
not,
on the same level.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so great.
And they're like all like brown girls. And then they went to play in Laguna
Niguel. This is like a movie. This, and they probably against girls who are not brown and who have been 2 years old because their parents stick them everywhere.
And they're so much taller
and like just more athletic, and all their parents are, you know, don't look like us and drive different cars than us.
Yeah,
I can totally. It's a movie. This is like a Disney Channel movie.
I know, for real. Totally is.
Disney Channel movie. This is a Netflix movie. Not even Disney
Channel. You know what? This I might sell Netflix. That story.
This is a Netflix like movie where it's like the brown girls who can't get through, and then like they can at the end and they win the championship. You know that this is what I'm talking about.
This is it. I will be selling those rights of that movie to Netflix soon.
Yeah, and I want to see whoever plays you needs to like make sure they pull out with the cart and the bag and like carne asada, and that's like a total scene in the movie. Like, oh, here comes up like the brown team, and like the mom's walking around with her like,
oh, thing. Yeah, people are carne
asada, and they're all like they're you know the whole, you know, the typical
parents are very passionate. I'm not there yet. Parents are very passionate, I should say.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's your children. If you're not gonna cheer for your children, who is?
Yeah, actually, the guest that we have today has some tips for people like going through difficult stages, like myself, like I was. So please, Brisa, tell us who we have on the show today.
Oh my gosh! Well, not that you care about what's going on in my life, but okay, I'll tell you who's in the show. Lilia is a certified breathwork teacher and healer, leading thousands of people to intimately connect with the breath as a pathway for transformation. Anna channels her intuition and seamlessly blends active breath work, intuitive guidance, and curated music to create personalized and healing journeys. Anna specializes in managing anxiety with her exclusive 7-day breathwork for anxiety program, where she offers a combination of guided breathwork meditations, visualization exercises, and intentional journaling. She also leads monthly community gatherings to help individuals manage their unique stress, fears, and overwhelm amidst world affairs. She was such a delight to have. And ever since this episode, I've been like digging deeper into breath work. And I am excited to learn more.
Yeah. And it's good for children too. I feel like, you know,
100%.
Now that they've included breath work in school, and a lot of the schools, I think that's like really good for the kids. And without further ado, here is your interview with Anna Lilia. Welcome to the show, Anna Lilia. How are you?
I am good. Excited to be here. Thank you so much.
We are so excited to have you. Thank you for joining us this beautiful morning here in LA. Morning, right? We're still in the morning.
It's morning still.
Thank you so much for coming. As I was telling you before we started recording, I know right now, all the time, right? We're all stress levels are up and down. And I've been looking forward to inviting you so you can share some of your knowledge on how to, you know, giving us tools on how to better deal with this. So let's start by introducing yourself. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Who you are, what you do, your personal journey and becoming a breath work coach. So please introduce yourself.
My name is Anna Lilia and I am a breath work coach, intuitive healer. I have been doing this work for 6 years and I came across breath work in a time where I was really overwhelmed and stressed out and depressed. And I had been going to therapy and that was helping me. But at the same time, I felt like there was other aspects that weren't really being addressed in therapy, like my physical body and what stress actually does to the physical body. And so I was starting to explore different healing modalities. And that's when I came across breath work. This was before people even really knew about it. It was about 7 years ago. And there was a random class listed at House of Intuition here in LA. It's a crystal shop in Echo Park. And so I attended this class. There were about, I don't know, 10 of us. They told us to lie on the ground and do this 2-stage breathing technique where they had us breathing using our diaphragms or our belly, using our chest, and then exhaling. And as we were breathing like this for about half an hour, my body just started to move involuntarily. I started crying, my hands cramped up. It was this emotional release that I was experiencing, and I couldn't believe that I was feeling all of this just by manipulating my breath. Mm-hmm. But the beautiful thing was that afterwards, that contraction that I felt in my body, the heaviness, the sadness, like I felt like it had lifted and I felt hopeful again. And I felt like my life could change. I felt back in control and back in my body. And even stepping outside, the colors looked brighter. It was really trippy, but I loved it. So I just continued to do it for myself over and over again. And I just found that it was such a powerful yet simple tool to use to support my mental well-being. So much so that I wanted to learn how to do it as well. And so I got trained about 6 years ago, and then I started facilitating and holding breathing circles and then working with people one-on-one. It's just become its own business, from just wanting to help out my friends and family to now helping a whole community.
That's amazing. And thank you for, you know, helping others, because that's what, you know, paying it forward. It's always something amazing. But I wanted to a little bit back up a little bit. And I think a lot of people live with anxiety and don't know it. So yeah. Can you, I read something really interesting in your website, and you said that you were a high functioning anxiety person. Can you tell us what that is? So people, maybe some people have it and they don't know. They don't know. They're like, oh, I'm fine. You know, I still, you know, go through the day. But what does it mean to be like a high functioning anxious person?
Yeah. Well, I'm first generation. My parents are from Mexico. And so we never really talked about mental health in my household. It was always like, keep going. If you're sad, you had to like put a smile on your face. And so core issues, and I grew up with an alcoholic dad. And so these core issues, traumas never really got resolved. And so when I was a child, I had stomach aches, but then there was nothing wrong with me, according to the doctors. And then I started to use long distance running as a way to manage my stress. But in hindsight, I noticed that that was like, I had an unhealthy relationship with running, which was almost like my coping mechanism, where I had all these feelings that I didn't know how to express or get support with. And so I would just run to the point where it almost became like punishing myself. And so it became a really unhealthy relationship. And then in my 20s in college, I noticed I started to, the stomach pain started to come back. So I started to experience IBS symptoms. I would grind my teeth at night. And then later when I moved to LA, I noticed I started to get these nervous tics where I would be counting on my fingers. I'm like, all of this seems off, but I didn't know what it was until I started with self-help books, because I didn't have insurance really to do therapy. And so I started to read how having an alcoholic parent can affect the household and yourself. So I read every self book about adult children and alcoholics. Then when I went into therapy, I realized, oh, this whole time I've had anxiety. And my dad also has anxiety. That's why he was self-medicating with alcohol. Oh, I have mental health problems in our family, in our extended family. Like, we've had suicides. My grandma suffered from anxiety and depression, but none of this was talked about. And so I feel like I've been kind of the first one in my family to get this discovery. And then from there, start to share it with my family. And so it's been really powerful to see how now we're all on a healing journey, but it's taken them a while. Where at first it was not well received. And like whenever I suggested therapy to them, my parents be like, ¿Qué me crees loco? Like, ¿Es eso? No, you know, just kind of like putting it down. So being on this healing journey has been really lonely and isolating. But unfortunately, with the pandemic, my dad relapsed in his 30 years of sobriety. So that kind of shone light again on still the dysfunction in the family and the underlying issues that haven't been addressed or looked at while he was in rehab not that long ago, actually, it was just in June, we had the opportunity to do family therapy. And so these topics were brought up again, not from me, but from professionals. And so my family started to take ownership of it and be like, oh, okay, there might be something there. And my other sisters, I have three younger sisters, they are also started to open up like, yeah, I have a lot of anxiety. One of my sisters has a one-year-old and she's like, I'm always feeling anxious. I have a hard time sleeping. My mom suffers from insomnia. And so there's a lot of underlying issues that now are starting to be recognized in our family and starting to be addressed so that we're not just in the symptom.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your vulnerability and, you know, willingness to share, because I feel like a lot of these issues are very common, but mm-hmm. like you're saying, we put them under the rug and we just like think, well, you know, one, it could be shame. Two, just ignorance. You know, we don't know that these are just signs that our bodies are, you know, just bringing out because of the amount of anxiety that we feel. And there's so many different ways of anxiety to show up, right? I personally deal with anxiety, and for me, it's like, is this like always worrying? And always like feeling like something bad is going to happen at any time, any moment. Like I wake up and I'm like, something bad is going to happen. I don't know what it is, but something bad is going to happen. And like, I walk around the whole day with feeling like that. And it's like really overwhelming, right? Like it doesn't let you like fully be in that aspect. And I've noticed, like, you know, when you were mentioning about like running, I was like, oh, well, I use working out as a mechanism, but I'm like, yeah, sometimes I'm just like, you know, like just going for it to like, to feel like I'm leaving that energy behind. I'm like, just my mind is just going to like, oh, okay. Like, you know, there's so many like signs that I need to look out.
Yeah. Being in the catastrophic state is a symptom of being anxious. So that is a common symptom of anxiety, being hypervigilant. Mm-hmm. That was another symptom that I also recognized within myself, where I would leave my house and I didn't trust, like I couldn't remember if I turned off my curling iron or the stove. And so I would drive back to double check. And it was constantly like that, like doubting and just always feeling like I'm on high alert. Like even right now, my body is showing you, like shoulders are up, you know, a lot of tension, just kind of like curve protective. So once I became conscious of it, you have to go back and get to the core of, you know, what happened in your life, what experience happened that made you always be on high alert or worry. And as immigrants, as people who have parents who came from other countries, like we carry a lot of ancestral trauma, you know, the journey being in this country,
right,
learning a new culture, language, the racism, the uncertainty of being deported, you know, all of that keeps us on high alert. Mm-hmm. And so it's in us, and it's then having to heal and unlearn and reprocess that trauma so that we start to teach our body to feel safe in a relaxed state. Because even for me, like being able to rest, like taking a nap, what? No, as a child, I didn't even take naps. It's like, ponte a trabajar, ayúdame a limpiar los platos, like, necesito ayuda con esto. Like it was just go, 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 go. And so now I do have the privilege where my schedule isn't go, 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 but I find myself then feeling guilty because I could potentially be doing something. Or, you know, I still hear my mom's voice telling me, ¿qué estás haciendo?
100%.
So it's all of this unlearning, right? So that we are able to be in a place of relaxation and not feel like we always have to fill our time. It's another coping mechanism too. Like I'm just lifting off all these symptoms I know it was in for me, and I noticed it in some of my sisters on how they behave, where we, not so much now for me, but it was constantly filling in my time. Even waking up, being in a silent house made me feel anxious. And so I would have to turn on the radio So always having some type of stimulation, that's how my nervous system felt better, where there was chaos, basically.
Yeah.
And so when there was peace, it made me panicked and it made me just uncomfortable. So noticing that, and in therapy, and then I also use breathwork as a tool with my clients to help them heal from trauma. Because when you do this active breathing, you are able to drop into a meditative state. And also as a healer and a clairvoyant, I get messages from my clients, like I'm able to see what's in their space. And that allows us to kind of quickly get to the core of the stressor and them healing from it, like starting to reprocess it and reprogram it. So it's been really incredible just to have experienced that and then find something that helps and then help other people do the same.
Wow, that's amazing. What should one expect when joining a breathwork class or session? Yeah. Like, because you know, like we all breathe and everybody's like, oh, just breathe. We're like, okay, breathing, right? Like even when you're about to give birth or everything, they're just like, breathe, breathe. Like it's all about like breathing. But what does it mean? Like, is it, what's the difference between normal breathing and your breathing? Like, you know, how should I breathe? Am I not breathing right?
Yeah, so we do take an average of 25,000 breaths a day, and most of them we're not even conscious of it. Our breath is a great indicator to show you how you're feeling. So a lot of times when you are stressed out or overwhelmed, you might be holding your breath a lot. You might be doing really shallow breathing. You might be breathing using your chest and not so much your diaphragm. And so the balance of carbon dioxide and oxygen is not quite right. You're probably not getting as much oxygen as your body feels. And so you feel like you're constantly having to like breathe more or catch your, or you're not able to catch your breath. And when you're happy and relaxed, or if you even notice children, I know you guys have children, like they breathe using their diaphragm. Their bellies move up and down when they're sleeping, when they're breathing. That's the way we're supposed to be breathing in our day to day. But there comes a time at a certain point when we get a little bit older in age where either we're taught as a society to like suck in our stomachs, especially women, or we become traumatized. And so then our breathing pattern changes and we tend to breathe at our chest. So in my breathwork classes, we drop our breathing down to our diaphragm. So when you breathe from your diaphragm, you're able to switch your nervous system from being on high alert in the sympathetic to the rest and digest, to your parasympathetic. And so your body starts to relax. And when we bring it up to our chest as well, that's another form of activating. It's just further allowing your body to really oxygenate. And oxygen is food for your cells. It changes your blood pressure. Like, there's a lot of benefits. That's why when people are having a panic attack or when you see someone really stressed, you do tell them to breathe, because that's the most quickest natural way that your body can go into a clear mind, a calm state, so that they're not in this panic state. So with active breathing, you're rushing in a lot of oxygen into your body. And so it's very common that people feel body sensations, a tingling, a vibration. As I shared my first breathwork experience, my hands got cramped up. That's very common for beginners as well. You're also able to start to open up your energy channels. So actively breathing drops you into your body and you're able to notice where your body's holding tension. So you might notice, my neck actually feels a lot tighter, or my hips are feeling, you know, tight. It almost is like your body's like, see, these are the areas that needs extra support. And it's invitation to just start to let go and for you to reflect, especially the way that I do my sessions. There's a lot of guidance throughout. So it's helping you gain clarity on why you are overwhelmed and stressed out. What is your body holding and why? And starting to also use some visualization exercises to help you imagine release. So by the end of the session, you're going to feel lighter, more grounded, like back in your power, clear in your mind, also energized. So it's a quick change in the way you're feeling. A lot of times people show up feeling tired, feeling overwhelmed, feeling stuck. And afterwards, they're like, ah, I feel 10 pounds lighter. Like, I didn't realize I was carrying so much. Especially moms, like, responsible for so much and juggling so much that sometimes it's easy to for you to get lost, or you don't really have the time to, like, check in. And so breathwork forces you to be with yourself and to just kind of take inventory of what's going on.
For sure. This is so interesting. How long ago did you go walk into that breathwork session at House of Intuition?
It was about 7 years ago.
And what were you doing before?
I still kind of do it. Commercial acting. Oh. So I was doing print work, commercial stuff. And I had been doing that for a long time, for about 15 years. And also with that, I was just kind of not as excited about it. I wanted to be more in control of my life. And I was tired of other people deciding whether or not I looked like a mom or if I was appropriate for whatever, any job. So that was part of kind of like the anxiety and depression that I was going through, of just feeling, not in my power and frustrated. And I was already dabbling and exploring other healing modalities and had even gotten trained in like theta healing. But what I loved about breathwork was how simple it is and how when you are participating in it, you're doing most of the work. So it's not like when you go to get a reading done where someone just like tells you your future or gives you suggestions. Like, this is you yourself getting the information, the person doing the active breathing. This is different than other types of meditation where it's not about have no thoughts in your mind. Because I think that's impossible. This is, your mind is going to be really active. And so you're going to get clarity on situations. It's great for problem solving if you're a creative person, because a lot of times we're like really in it and it's hard for us to see the bigger picture. And so this allows you to kind of step out of the noise and be like, oh, this is another way that I could do that. Or actually, you know what? That's not really important to me anymore. Like, I'm just going to kind of drop that and focus on what really matters to me. And so it's a way to like physically clear your body, release physical tension from your body, and also clear your mind and get rid of that mental clutter that keeps us stuck in a loop.
I need that.
How many times a day do you stop to do breath work exercise throughout the day? And do you facilitate it or support it with any other sort of meditation or physical work?
So I personally check in throughout the day with my body, and I notice, like right now, my shoulders are a little rolled forward. So I would body awareness, just roll them back and drop my breathing down to my belly. So it's something that I do throughout as a way to kind of bring me back to a center. And it's just become automatic. Also, because I've done it so much, when I'm in a really stressful situation, my body knows how to regulate itself now. Last year, my house was broken into. And when I got the phone call from my dog sitter that my doors were wide open, I noticed while I was on the phone, she was freaking out. But I noticed that my breathing immediately got longer and deeper. And I was so proud of my body. I'm like, oh my gosh, I was able to like regulate myself so that I'm able to like clearly give her directions without adding to the chaos and freaking out. So it's something that can happen once you do this practice a lot. And then in terms of the active breathing, I use it as a maintenance tool where I actually lie down and do the active breathing. But I facilitate almost every single day, whether it's in group session or with my one-on-one clients. And most of them are just virtual. I am seeing a limited amount of people who are vaccinated in person. And when you do it in person, I also add sound bath component to it. So I have crystal bowls. I use aromatherapy. I use Reiki, hands-on healing. For my virtual, I channel my clairvoyance and also do distance healings. And then also with my breathwork, I incorporate music So every session has a different playlist, and it is contemporary music. And the playlists are really powerful. And I use the lyrics of the music to tell a story and take you on a journey. So that's another layer to it that helps people. It's almost like a distraction to get you out of your head and have you reflect on really what's going on.
Hmm. Something that I wanted to talk to you about was, like, I know you do work with, like, corporations, right? You corporations hire you to go and calm the people down, I guess. I have a guy here that works with us here at the restaurant. And every time that he has his lunch break, he's meditating. And everybody just, I mean, you know, people are like, did you see him? Like, oh my God, right? And every time I go and I see him in the back, he's like meditating, he's breathing. And the other day I asked him, I said, hey, how long have you been meditating? He was like, oh, you know, I've been meditating for like almost a year. And I also like fast. You should try it. It'll help you with your stress, right? And he's such a young kid. But he's always calm, collected, you know, even though when it's like super, like we're in a rush and we're so busy. So I wanted to see how your work helps, job performance, you know, job performances in like a corporate job setting. Because I feel like a lot of us, you know, a lot of the anxiety that a lot of us carry comes from mm-hmm. work. So, how does your work, help, you know, job performance?
Yeah, it helps. It's really beautiful when companies reach out. I've done just not that long ago a session for Facebook and USC and Sony Music. And it's a way to help them manage stress. I mean, yeah, working is so stressful, especially with the pandemic and all of the changes and just Zoom fatigue and all of that. Like, people are so burnt out in addition to everything else that has changed in their life. And so when companies hire me, it's a way to help their employees manage the stress, to give them a pause in their day. But it also brings a lot of compassion into the workspace. Depending on how long the session is, there might be time at the end to open it up for shares. And people get pretty vulnerable and they're like, wow, I didn't realize that I was carrying all this stress. And just hearing from your colleague, you know, what they're going through, or your manager, like, it just creates a closer community. And I find that people are kinder to each other as well, because you realize, like, everyone's going through something. Mm-hmm. And we might get annoyed or hurt because a coworker like lashes out, or they talk to us in a tone. Most of the time it has nothing to do with you. Yeah. It's probably something that's going on behind the scenes. It's something deeper. And so when you start to shift the way that you interact and hear things as well and receive information, it just creates a healthier work environment.
Oh, nice. Nice. I like that. I know you
agreed.
Yeah, agreed. We all need that. We need that here every day here at the restaurant. I always tell that to people, right? I you know, because I deal with like people all day, every day. And then people come and tell me like, oh, you know, that person doesn't like me. And I was like, I bet you like that person's going through so much at home. There's probably something that is happening that has absolutely nothing to do with you. And, mm-hmm. you know, at some point you're just like, that day that person came in and probably like, I don't know, got in a fight with their husband, or like their kid didn't wake up on time, or like something happened and they come to work and they're in a bad mood, and you come and you're like, hi, and that person doesn't talk back the way that you expect them to. And then people take things so personal, you know? Yeah. So I think like it's really good to, I mean, I was really curious again, because I have a person here that actually does that. And I've seen yeah. like, he's like friends with everyone. He's just like mm-hmm. super chill and cool. And I was like, oh, is that, you know, I'm like, maybe I should encourage that for everyone. Like, you guys should just go meditate for like 10 minutes a day. On your 10 minute break, go meditate.
Yeah. And people, especially if you're not exposed to it, or if it's something new for you, it can feel overwhelming, or it can, or, you know, there's still a lot of judgment.
Or just breathe, meditating. You know, just breathe.
But I think it's a little bit, well,
sorry, I just felt like, sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to say, like, I think breathing is a little bit less intimidating than meditating. I think when you ask someone to meditate, like, there's that word has so many, you know, like commercial things around it like that. Just breathe, you know, it's like a more like accessible way.
Yeah. And I was just going to give another simple example that for me, it's also meditating. On your lunch break, go outside and notice the sun on your skin. It's basically about just coming to the present moment. You know, most of the time, that's our hilarious. Brain is either in the future or in the past. And so when you just come back to this moment, things calm down.
I was going to say that's hilarious because when I think about the sun in my face, I just think like, I'm going to get hella wrinkles. I better get out of this fucking sun. I'm like, I didn't put SPF on. Oh my God, I feel it burning. I got to move. But I get what you're saying though. What you're saying is go outside and just live in the moment. Living in the past, living in the future is a disservice to anyone, no matter who you are. But low key though, not in the sun, girls. Go meditate. Go feel the wind
under the tree.
Skin. Go feel the wind in your skin. Do not feel the sun on your face.
Yeah. Or even like washing the dishes, like notice the water falling on the plates, notice the texture of the sponge. You know, they're just mindfulness exercises to bring you to this present moment, to just create a moment of pause in your mind and in your body.
Yeah. So what, like if for all the super mamas out there that are like in the middle, like picking up the kids, or in the middle getting the kids ready for, you know, for school, one kid can't find the shoes, hurry up, we're leaving, it's late, da, 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 like, oh my God. Like, what are like some, like three simple things that you would say, okay, this is what you should do at this moment. Take, I don't know, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, a minute, I don't know. Like something very...
Everyone's like, a minute, I'm running late.
Or, you know, something like that, they can get it together, because I feel that also, we're running late, we're doing this, we're anxious, we start screaming. But if we were to like stop for like, I don't know how long you would say, and breathe, then everything would go smoother, because you're not like, your mind is not blocked and you're just not looking at the bad, but you're like, okay, I'm going to do this like in a different way to get this done.
But don't you think that like the not running late situation starts before? I mean, I think it is, I think it's such a deeper issue. They're running late. The idea of how you got to this place, right? Because it's from the moment you wake up, if you start your morning in a calm state, everything will go, right? But if you wake up anxious and looking at your phone and, oh my gosh, I just spent 20 minutes on Instagram, so now I'm totally late. It's just rushed throughout the whole thing. So yes, you can stop and breathe. But I think the deeper issue is waking up in a state of
calmness
and what am I going to attack and going to, even before, even, I mean, even starts, even, I think it starts in the nighttime routine. Don't you think? And then Lilia, like how you put yourself at ease so you can actually rest and you wake up calmly. I don't think it's as easy as here's 5 seconds to breathe. Definitely it will help. But I think that doesn't the issue come from a deeper sense when you are in this like, late state?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do before that so that you're not in this chaotic state. I always encourage my clients to end their day in gratitude. Hmm. Practicing gratitude is just so good for your joy. And it can be as simple as just laying in bed and thinking about 5 things that you're grateful for, simple things. And it starts to also just help relax yourself. Mm-hmm. In the morning, I have a free 5-minute breathwork meditation that's going to help you get calm and centered and set an intention for your day so that you are intentional. And that's another way that you can create a pause before you head out. But if you're in the chaos, yeah, I would encourage you to definitely take a few deep breaths as a family, whether it's once you get everyone in the car, so that that chaotic
energy
isn't continuing for the kids at their school or for you, for whatever else you have to do. Mm-hmm. So you're creating the disruption and like the chaos. Mm. So that's always something good to do. But yeah, this might sound crazy, but like even holding hands as a group, you know, it just is going to help to ground everyone, just to connect everyone and take some deep breaths. That might feel silly and impossible, but it's also going to bring the family together.
Yeah. Pray together as well, right? Pray
exactly. Together. Yeah. Praying is a form of meditation. So if that's going to help you, you know, bring you back and have you feel a sense of peace, help mm-hmm. you not feel alone, give you some strength. Absolutely. Do that.
Yeah. Like, I like what you said about disrupting the chaos, because praying is some sort of like, okay, I'm praying and I have to calm down to pray, right? You can't pray like, you have to calm down. You have to breathe. You have to pray. So it's like, you know, when you're in the middle of the chaos, like always like go and disrupt the chaos, either with breathing, praying, whatever, meditating, whatever it is. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ana Lilia, for your time, for sharing you're all welcome. Of this with us. Please let the Super Mamas know where they can find you, where they can, you know, contact you, where they can get on your, one of your meditation sessions. And please tell us.
If you go to my website, analilia.net, you will find all of my offerings there. I have a monthly community gathering where it's donation-based. So if you want to experience breathwork for the first time, that's a good place to start. I have a lot of free resources as well, free meditations, guidance on my website. And also on Instagram, I tend to do meditation, guided meditations there, and just a lot of resources to help you manage stress. And if you're looking for pre-recorded meditations, I have my program to help you feel a sense of calm. You can find it on at feelcalmtoday.com. And those are 9 pre-recorded meditations to help you manage stress and anxiety.
Oh, I love that. I love that, Ana Lilia.
Thank you, Ana Lilia.
Thank you so much. And I will start breathing from the stomach again.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, Ana Lilia.
Bye.
Hey, Super Mamas. Paulina and Brisa here. We just want to remind you to rate and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, have you seen us rocking our Super Mamas swag? Well, we want you to join in. Use promo code SMPODCAST at checkout on supermamas.com/swag. For 15% off your next order. Again, that's code SMPODCAST on supermamas.com/swag for 15% off. Okay, now back to the show.
And we are back. That was a really good interview. I really liked. She's very peaceful. I feel like sometimes when I talk to people like that, I'm like, is there a certain formula that you have to do to be like that peaceful or no, or not?
I think it's like a lot of work. It's, you know, I think the same thing that when you meet someone who just has like a ripped body, you know, you're like, oh, does that come naturally? Or do you actually work out? Like, no, bitch, I work out. Like, these abs. I wasn't just born with these fucking abs, you know?
It's a lot of work.
When you meet someone who's so calm and peaceful and, you know, it's not as intense as I am, it's like they do work. That's a lot of mind workout, I would say. I don't know whatever that
is called. Pero a qué hora? Like, that's just my thing. A qué hora?
The same time that people work on that in their abs, some people choose to work out on their abs, some people choose to work on their mind, others just want to go to sleep.
I choose to work on my legs.
You know how people say, like, I'm sweat. I'm like working while you're sleeping. That's exactly what happened. I'm sleeping. They're working out.
Oh my God. So what is up with you, sister?
What does it matter, Paulina? This is like, what does it matter?
It does matter. It matters to me.
We should just call this like Paulina Mama podcast.
No, be quiet. We have some episodes that are just about you too.
We have some episodes.
I mean, it's a good mix. It's a good mix. No, what's up with you? What's going on? Tell me a little bit. Sorry.
It's at the end of the show. No one's even listening at this point. Everyone turned it off.
Duh. You're just like the legal middle child, always dramatic.
It's just this, it's just facts.
dramatic. Okay, so you want to just move on to the Super Mom pick or tip of the week?
My pick of the week, I already know a pick of the week, so we can
move on.
I'll read it to me. My pick of the week is an app where you can rent my car now.
What? That's true. I saw that. Hey, do you give family discounts? Family and friend discounts.
So here's so my Turo epic of the week is going to be this app called Turo, T-U-R-O, mm-hmm. where you can rent cars. If you're traveling, you can just go on this app. It's pretty much like Airbnb, where you can just go and rent a car and drive it around the city, wherever you're staying.
Is it all over the country?
Yeah, it's all over the country. So we've used it a few times. We rented a car to go to Yosemite and my husband.
And you did it through that app?
Yeah. I rented a car.
Oh, so it's better than like doing like a car rental.
It's the same thing as like, people like Airbnbs and they're like hotels, right?
Yeah.
Turo is way more affordable than like a Hertz rental car.
Oh, okay. I'm going to look into
it. Yeah. It's super seamless. It's so nice. That's where my husband, when he went to Nashville and he had to drive to, I forgot what he drove to. He rented two cars in Nashville. He just kind of wanted to just drive around the city. And people use them all the time. So a lot of people want to drive. It's cheaper for them to get a car than to get Ubers everywhere. Especially right now. I feel like Uber and Lyft are a lot more expensive than they used to be. So,
can you do it like by the hour or by the day?
It's by the day.
Oh, got it.
You can do it by the day. So I put my little baby up for rental. And I was so emotional when I was putting it up for rent yesterday. Like I legit wanted to cry. My husband was like, why do you put it up for rent? Like, why don't you sell it? I was like, oh, how dare you? I will never sell my car. How dare you? He's like, well, I don't understand then. Why are you putting it up for rent? I'm like, because it's just going to sit there. And like the whole point, it should generate me. Like it's some sort of income at this point, if it's just going to sit there. I put it up for rent and he's like, I feel like it's like when your daughter goes out and date, you know, you're sending out your daughter on a date and you just hope for the best.
He's an analogy.
I'm like, that's legit how I feel. Like, treat my car nice. Like, what if somebody wrecks it? Like, I'm just a little paranoid, but I'm just hoping for the best. Like, without la bendición, I'm like, bye.
But God. I feel like, you know, people that use those kind of apps, like, you know, it's just kind of new. You know, people that are more, like, they're different people. You know what I mean? Hopefully.
I mean, you hope so. Yeah. And then you rate people, like, the person that, and then I just got my first rental.
Really? Then, see? Yeah,
I listed it last night and somebody is picking it up tomorrow for the weekend. They're dropping it off. They're picking it up tomorrow, dropping it off on Monday.
Well, just pretend that you let like our little sister borrow it or something. I mean, you know, it's like.
But anyway, that's my pick, Turo.
Nice.
And it's funny because it says like rent Breezes Prius. I'm like,
I want to look into it because I'm going to go on a trip with my husband soon. So I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, it just kind of depends on where you're going, what you want to do. But yeah, like my Prius to rent it a day, you know how much it is?
I don't know how much.
It's like $40 a day to rent.
Oh, that's super affordable.
I mean, even my husband's like, I mean, is it even worth it? I'm like, you know, I don't know. To be honest, I don't even know how long this is going to last. You know me. I'm probably going to rent it 2 times and I'm going to be like, no, leave my car, you know?
But or not. Maybe you'll get a bunch of rentals and you'll be like, oh, okay, that's extra money, you know?
I know, but $40 a day, like, I don't know. We'll see. I got my first rental, though, so I'm excited.
Nice. That's like gas for your week for your other car.
Yeah. I mean, my new car that I got is also electric, so it doesn't even spend a lot of gas. So
exactly.
Awesome. And that was the whole point. The reason how I mentally got to get a new car was because I'm going to rent this car and it's going to subsidize the payments for this new car.
Exactly.
And it's been 11 years since I've had a new car. And I will say it feels really nice after 11 years to drive. And like, I'm like, wow. I'm like, cars are really have come a long way in the past 11 years.
Oh my God. It's been 11 years?
11 years, Melina. I haven't driven a new car in 11 years. Not nice. My fucking Prius is the best car in the world.
It is.
But I would say I haven't driven a new car in 11 years. So I will say 11 years, the car industry has come a long way. I'm very impressed.
It has come a long way. It has come a long way, sister. It does. It has. Well, I hope you do get a
But that's of- my pick, Turo. And if you guys want to rent Brisa's Prius, go on Turo app and just look for Brisa's Prius.
Turo church sounds like Turo.
No, Turo. T Turo. As in U R O. Turo. Turo.
Okay. Well, my pick this week is going to be a total soccer mom. My first acquired equipment that I got for soccer, because a bunch of moms suggested it on the gram when I asked them. It is a Sportbrella. It's called Sportbrella. It's not just an umbrella. It actually turns into a little, it's a 50, it's actually 50 SPF 50. That's my, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. It's a Sportbrella. Yeah. And then you can actually put it on your chairs. So it stands on the chairs, next to the chairs when you're that's, under the sun.
Yeah, that's. You know what? I'm not even going to say anything, because I'm sure like in 3 years, I'm going to have these. I'm totally going to be. I already have a little carrito in my car.
You have a little carrito. See, like yeah, the more never, kids you have, I've the never, more stuff you
I
get.
I mean, I've never used it. It's there just in case. I just have it like as a just in case.
No, now the back of my car is literally like chairs and like umbrellas.
Mean, I do have a chair in the back of my car. I have a carrito because we use this company called Uline to get all of our stuff from all our packaging, all our warehouse business stuff. Uline is one of the most incredible companies. I freaking love Uline.
They don't even let the phone ring.
No, Uline is one of the companies I admire most. Like I admire this company so much, but they sell everything from bags, boxes, shipping boxes, shipping, like anything that you need. So after a certain amount of, if you make a big order, there's a lot of free gifts that you get. There are items you can add on and they just send you free stuff.
I have never done that.
Oh my gosh. There's so much stuff there that's for free that you can get. Oh my so I look forward to making my orders and getting something free. So last time, one of the things that were for free were that cart, was a little cargo cart, like the one that you have.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So
they owe me. They owe me a lot of back stuff because we order so much from this.
Oh, every time I order, I get free stuff. They have coolers for. Like, they have like coffee mugs. They have so much stuff that you can get for free.
Okay.
So one of the things that my order was eligible for was that cart that you have, the little cargo that you pull. And it's super great quality. It says Uline on it, but whatever, and it's blue, but whatever.
Yeah,
so I have it in my car for whatever.
No, these and yeah, it's good, it's good.
By the way, they also have umbrellas.
They do, you know. I did have a beach umbrella, but it's not the same. The beach umbrellas are so flimsy and small. This one is really good. I really like it. And for the kids, because I also take the other two kids. No, I actually have to take the other two kids, right? And I have to entertain them while Chris is playing. So I have to set up this whole like little tent with toys and things for them to like play. And
I can even imagine. Wow, you're a situation on the moon.
I know. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. And yeah, I will.
Well, we're here. This is literally like the reason we have this. So you can talk and I listen.
Thank you, sister, for giving the opportunity to talk to you and so you can listen to me.
You're welcome.
All right. We will see you guys.
I'll listen to you next week again.
All right. Same. Okay, bye. Mismo hora, mismo canal. All right. Okay. Bye.
Hey, sisters. Thank you so much for listening. Hope all of you guys are subscribed to our newsletter. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button on supermamas.com. We will be sending out invites to upcoming events, promos, and super cool surprises your way. And of course, you can always keep up with us through the gram @_supermamas and on Twitter, also @_supermamas, and in the face @supermamaspodcast.
Oh, one more thing. We want to hear your supermama moment of the week to share with all of you sisters. Call into our hotline 424-329-3707 and leave us a message, or simply email us a voice note to hello@supermamas.com. Very soon, we could be featuring you on the show. Please remember to leave your name and Instagram handle for a chance to be featured.
Much love.